with that idea of registers in mind, let's dive right into first simple expressions. So, variables are the most basic expressions together with constants. Values for variables and constants we would directly store into registers. In order to do that, we establish now two new instructions for the RCMA that we're going to call load C and move, with the semantics that you see right there. So the first one being load C with two parameters, target register and an actual constant C, serves the purpose of loading such constant into a register. Yeah. So one of the most basic moves that there is. The other one is the other very basic instruction of moving the value from our register RJ into register RI. So target register again is the first register, parameter register is the second one. That we copy from one register to the other. And when we have those two basic instructions, we can already start specifying a translation scheme. Yeah. So for the translation scheme, we will start with a particular addressing environment. So the address environment for the name X yields the numerical constant A here. So this is some integer constant that I don't specify further here. This is usually an attribute that has to be determined via some attribute system, and this gives us usually an index for each variable that is used locally in the function, and this index is then unique for that particular variable and can be used for addressing that variable as a constant index in the local register set. Yeah. So this is what this address environment gives us, and this is handed to the code generation process via, well, the environment being a property or an attribute that you can retrieve at each position in the abstract syntax tree. And in our notation here, we express that in this form, like a functional program or a function for code generation. That is here this code function that gets two parameters, one being part of the abstract syntax tree that this code generation is referring, that the code generation is referring to here, well, in the form of pattern matching on the syntax tree. So these parameters here are usually patterns that we find in the syntax tree, for example, for a constant, for a variable, or for assignment expression here. Yeah. So this is the first parameter. This code generation function is part of the syntax tree, and the second parameter usually is the address environment that maps names to indices in the local registers. Yeah. So what else is there? Well, we have mentioned that we keep a book of the first to be the first free register in this counter I. And this is also another parameter of the code generation function that is handed to each call of the code generation function. And now we can consider all that you see here like a very large case distinction between the patterns that the first parameter has And well, for each of these patterns, we define how the according generated code looks like, and that is then used as the content for the code attribute of that part of the syntax tree. So enough with like these general principles in there. Let's maybe dive right into the whole thing. So the code generation for an actual integer constant looks like, well, we want to possibly reuse the constant value in when the constant is nested into a larger expression, in that larger expression. So we need to make it consistently accessible for this surrounding expression. This is usually done by storing the value of this constant here into a register. And what the register that we choose will be the first one that is actually available to us, which is what we can obtain via this parameter I. So what we'll be doing is we will be emitting or storing as code attribute load C for putting the value of C into the register, and we choose as register to put into the first free register. No? In a similar way, we come to the next pattern, which is for the current sub-expression being the variable, the identifier. Yeah, and this now the current value of a variable is usually kept in the local registers. However, since we want to generically reuse this value later on in a consistent way, we the one thing that we keep to is that we will use the first free register in order to store the value of this expression into. And thus, what we're going to do here is we will move or copy the content of the local register that carries the value of x, and we obtain this by looking up the name x in the type environment and get, oh yeah, well, at index a there is usually the value stored. Thus we copy from that register ra into register ri, and then later on reuse it from ri. Now, this reusage has been a recurring theme. How does that look in practice? Well, we have, as an example, the assignment expression here. So, the expression to focus on is the expression that assigns the value of some sub-expression E to the variable X. And how we do that would be, well, first of all, we need for the sub-expression E to be to have code for evaluating that E. We can trigger this code to be produced by calling this code R on E, and this is implicitly already this has principle already been done during the attribute grammar run on the sub-expressions AST, and so we can just retrieve whatever we get from this sub-expression from its code attribute. However, what that would correspond to would be a code generation call with the same index as its first free register, and the expression to generate code for is the one that we take from there and give us a parameter to there. So this will, in case the sub-expression is a constant, for example, will inline this load C of R load C of C into RI. Yeah. So after that has been done, the result of this cogeneration function resides in the register that was free, still free when this thing was called. So we can emanate from Ri to have or to carry the computed result of sub-expression E. Thus, in order to save it into the location of Xi, all that we need to do now is to copy its value from Ri to the register that serves for storing local variable X. This is Ra. And again, can be looked up in the type in the naming environment. Yeah. Okay. So this is the very basic steps that we can then extend to treat all sorts of arithmetic expressions. Yeah. So there's a lot of operators in arithmetic expressions, and we first define what we will find in the register schema as instructions, and this will be the operators that you see listed here. So a lot of arithmetic operators and comparators. Yeah, and each of them is usually realized in the following form. So the operator is pulled out into prefix position, and then we will find the target register at first, then operand 1 and operand 2. So each of these is usually a binary operator. Yeah. So in case that we now find that there is a code generation necessary for a binary expression, again, we obtain naming environment and the actual code generation pattern, which is now a binary operator with two child expressions E1 and E2. So in order to come to a piece of code that evaluates that, what we first need is of course code for E1 and E2. So we start off by calling code generation for E1 like this. And then this will mean that we obtain we receive the as a communication register for communicating the result of expression E1 in Ri. This means that we should, if possible, not override that during the evaluation of E2. Yeah. So this is why in the code generation function for E2, we will then increment the first free register counter. Yeah, so make it a little bit more visible here. So here for E2, we will operate on an increased value for the free register counter, which will mean that the register Ri will be left alone. Instead, only the registers from I1 plus 1 to whatever is larger than I are possibly overwritten, while the resulting value of this E2 expression will reside in the register Ri plus 1, whereas the result of the expression E1 will reside in register R. Yeah? Ri. So, with those two now being there, we can then start merging them in their correct context, meaning that we will generate the actual code for representing the operator, which is the instruction down there, with the intermediate results of the child expressions residing in Ri and Ri plus 1. On the target, as a target register, we will take Ri once again, because that's where we store our values. Okay, so maybe that's a little bit abstract, let's have a look at an example. So a little bit more advanced expression than before, 3 times 4, with the first free register currently being number 4. So if that is the case, then the code generation function will usually be called with this 4 now as the value of the current first free register, as well as a concrete code pattern to generate code for. And, well, we then simply deconstruct what we find. There is the multiplication, which goes down there, expression E1, which goes up there, and expression E2, which goes up there, with differing first free register counters being 4 and 5 for both of these instances. Yeah, and then we recursively then insert what code generation there is for those patterns here, which is just constants. So this would boil down to load C's. 3 will go into register R4, 4 will go into register R5, and then in the end they end up being multiplied with each other. Yeah. Okay. So this is quite a handy concept all in all, which already includes that temporary registers are actually quite efficiently managed. They are even reused. So, for example, if we do something like the following expression, 3 times 4 plus 3 times 4 with first free register being 4, this will boil down to code generation for first free register 4 of the expression that we mentioned beforehand, together with the naming environment like this. This will boil down to code generations for 3 times 4 twice, one but differing in the first free register, and then the whole thing being added. Yeah, so you see that for that we will use register 4 and 5 to store intermediate values. Well, pattern for this 3 times 4, independently of the first free register, looks like that. So this uses internally register RI and RI plus 1. And if you then use that to implement the code R for 3 times 4 in our example, we see that I is instantiated with 4 and 5, whereas internally we also use the register of an index larger than the one that we were started with. So the instance from up here will actually use the register 5, which will then inside the instance here again be used with this part of the pattern. Yeah? So register R5 is used here twice with different purposes in that sense. Yeah? So you see, first there's register 5 here for realizing the loading part of 4, and then later on it's used for loading parameter 3. So with that we have reused a variable that was used before already, however isn't needed for later on referring to this intermediate result ever again. So what still misses is the actual semantics of the operators, but well, lots of them are already quite self-speaking. So there is the arithmetic ones that you see over here, which usually just do what they imply, what they should do, like adding, subtracting, division, multiplication, and modulo computation. And then there's the comparator ones, these ones here, that usually store 1 or 0 in the target register, depending on whether the condition is fulfilled or not. And then finally, there is the computations on bit values. Yeah, and this is more or less, if you just reduce your Boolean values to 1 or 0, then this also works like the logical operators. Yeah. Okay, so one thing, just for completeness, would be the translation of unary operators then. So there's also the operators for negation of a value and negation of a condition. And, well, they usually operate in a similar way as the binary expression, just a little bit less complicated. So what we find as pattern here is unary operator and expression, which means that first of all we have to compute the code for the sub-expression and then the code for the actual unary operator. And yeah, since this just consumes input and then produces new output, we will just use the same register to save space in that sense. So, time for an example. We can translate minus 4 with the first register R5, or we can also say, like, we translate minus 4 into R5. Yeah, and this is done following way. First three registers 5, and this is the actual unary operation. So what we do is we negate R5 into R5 and first compute the value of 4 into R5, which is then just a load C of 4 into R5. Yeah, semantics is what you see here. So we have not being, well, 1 if Rj is 0, else 0, and negate, you're doing something different. Actually, it flips the sign of the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, so with that, we can already translate a lot of the things that we find, particularly all the expressions that we might be interested in. And in the next module, we're going to see an example for that.